Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the one, the only Scary Cast. And tonight, I will tell you, this is one for the ages. If we haven't ever rocked and rolled people before tonight, we will be rocking and rolling them. Anyway, I wanted to say greetings to all of our listeners on voiceofnorthgeorgia.com, our new home for ScaryCast, along with, of course, Tiger Radio out of Myrtle Beach, WLSC AM and FM in Myrtle Beach, and, of course, Facebook. We couldn't do it without Facebook. So anyway, first of all, we have a co-host, and we have a non-co-host tonight who's our guest, and so it's kind of fun. First of all, my co-host, one of my best buddies, one of the most interesting people I've ever met, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great, John. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. I know Robin might be on a hall pass because she's not feeling too well. Devin will be here a little bit later. And I want to preface tonight's show with the following statement. I'm going to ask some really difficult questions. And if anybody chooses not to answer them, it's fine to say, I choose not to answer that question. This is going to get interesting, and this will be epic. This is truly going to be one of the most epic scary casts we've ever had. And tonight, we have a guest. He's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. Sometimes I call him the crazy guy from Niagara Falls, but he is truly a gentleman, truly works hard, tries to learn a lot, and bring a ton to the table. So the one person that I want to introduce who's our guest tonight is, of course, Mark Johnston from Niagara Falls, Canada. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, John. Hey, Trey. Doing well. This is my first time calling on with Skype, so I think I should be good, but I might only have like 52 minutes to talk. So if I cut out towards the end, that's why.
That's okay. We're certainly glad to have you here. And Sitting in the queue and almost ready to join us is the queen of ScaryCast, Robin McCray. Are you with us yet, Robin?
I am. How's everybody doing tonight?
Excellent.
We're good.
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 Okay. Trey is here. You are here. And Mark Johnston is our guest tonight. He's not a co-host. He's a guest tonight. Is here. And as I've said, and I'm not joking, this is one for the ages. This is probably the most explosive scary cast I have ever hosted. And I will tell you, like I just advised Trey and like I just advised Mark Johnston, if you feel uncomfortable with any questions that I ask, please say, I don't care to answer that question. Fair enough?
Okay.
Is that okay, Robin?
Sounds good.
Okay, good. Tonight's episode is entitled Alternative Spirits. Now, Mark Johnston had a dream, and a lot of discussion was built on that dream. Is that a correct assumption, Mark?
Yep.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Now, I have met in my travels in the last year Jason McClendon. He's a sorcerer from Cullman, Alabama. Super nice guy, great friend, studies his craft hard. And so what I have done is my portion here for about 10 minutes. I wanted to start with some discussion about spirits. And the spirits I'm discussing, you'll see what they are. First of all, we're going to talk about religion. Religion's a very important thing to a lot of people. And first of all, I'm a Protestant. We believe in the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those are our spirits that we talk to. And, you know, that's what we do. We pray to them. We a lot of times go to church. We offer things like flowers. We offer money to help the church grow and help the church do its mission. That's called tithing. So that's kind of the methodology that I grew up with. Now, there's a related religion. It's called Catholicism. And along with the, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I believe they have saints that they pray to. Now, Dr. Trey Donaway, I know that you're a Catholic. Did I say that correctly?
Well, technically, the Catholic doctrine said God is of three parts, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So really, it's three in one. And we do have saints, people who are very special in their lives, primarily from their faith, but also to become canonized, to become a saint, you have to have miracles follow you in your life. And, you know, you pray directly to God. And from my understanding is in Protestantism, that's the important thing. But Mary comes into it and it gets a lot of people confused. We look at Mary as an intercessor. The same way if you had something bad and you didn't want your dad to find out and you thought maybe you could talk to your mom, maybe she could come up with a better way to present something that maybe dad wouldn't be too keen about. That's how Mary is for us and other saints. So, yes, there are saints. And in Catholicism, we do have patron saints of, you know, of lost causes. That's St. Jude. So you pray for a lost cause or you can pray for St. Anthony. If you lose something, he can help you find things. And that's a very simplistic approach, but saints are special people in the Catholic Church.
Certainly. And when you pray to either God, now this is what I think, when you pray to either God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or one of the saints, you can either get advice, you can have questions answered, or you can have special events occur. Like, if, as you said, lost causes, St. Jude. Well, I tell you what, St. Jude does a pretty darn good job at that hospital of his same name because he makes sure that a lot of those kids make it out alive. And I think that's
very important.
That's why
it's St. Jude's Hospital, because at the time it was created, that would be the saint of lost causes. And in the hospitals, sometimes you have some lost causes. So it all makes sense.
Well, you know, it really does. And that's how I wanted to get started. Now, what I'll say is not only do we have the Trinity, we call it in Protestantism the Holy Trinity, and not only do we have additional saints, but there are other spirits that people pray to. All right? And talking with Jason McClendon, who's a very smart guy, and he really studies his craft, and he has introduced me to a little bit of what he does. There are other spirits that people pray to. They pray to St. Cyprian. Now, St. Cyprian is a canonized saint in the Eastern Orthodox Church. He is not canonized in the Catholic Church. There's also Mars. There's also Jupiter, a vast and huge god. And as we would say it in the Protestant world, a little g god. And I have a friend who is a Norse witch. That's what he calls himself. They don't call themselves warlocks. They call them Norse witches. And he's a Norse witch, and he prays to Thor and all those cats. Well, he does get advice. He does get answers to questions. And occasionally something will happen that he knows that one of those spirits helped him out. And I think that's interesting because a lot of Christians, or at least a lot of Protestants, do not want to discuss this subject. They are very close to it. And that's fine because I think that our doctrine says that we must keep our faith and we must not discuss other faiths like that. But there are people who really and truly believe in those spirits, and they pray to them, and they get answers just like, you know, I pray to God. I don't know why I don't pray to the Holy Spirit. I don't pray to Jesus. I pray to God. I've always prayed to God, and I do get advice. I get answers to questions, and I do have wonderful things happen. So I believe that prayers, my prayers are answered. Jason believes his prayers are, in many instances, answered. Trey, have you seen people in your church that have prayed and have gotten prayers answered?
Sure. My mom always told me, your prayers are always answered. You just might not like the answer.
Now, that is the mark of a wise lady. What do you think about that statement that I just made, Robin? That's a wise lady that says that. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. She sounds amazing.
I know, absolutely. Now, and we will say this because the devil's got to give his due. We have the Church of Satan. We know who they pray to. That's fine. Let them do it. I don't. And so I think, you know, there are lots of spirits out there. This is a vast, vast universe. And there's lots of spirits to pray to. Robin, will you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere. In fact, I was talking to somebody, when was it? Right before the weekend. And it was our friend Harriet. And she has a spirit in her home. She didn't even know why she's there. It's an older woman. When I stayed at her house, she introduced herself to me. And Harriet's like, I have no idea who that person is. I said, well no, but she seems to like it because she's hanging around.
Well,
they're everywhere.
I mean, what more can you say? That's a little bit of logic, isn't it, Robin?
Yep.
The spirit likes it. Now, that might not be a spirit on the order of Jupiter, which is a vast, vast spirit, which is in some cultures called the king of the gods, the little g god. But it is interesting. You know, there are local spirits. They're kind of like regional. There are like national and international. As you go up the chain, and the more people that pray to them, I think that's the bigger that they become. So that kind of gives us a little bit of a hierarchy. Now, I'm almost done. I've got just a couple of other things that I think are very important. Now, what is an atheist? I would like to, that is a GE College Bowl toss up for 25 points. What is an atheist? I'm going to pick on Dr. Trey Donaway. What do you think an atheist is?
I always thought an atheist was someone who did not believe in God.
Okay.
Maybe there's a different or a better description, but that's what I always assumed.
Okay. Well, I think I agree with that. What is an agnostic? Does anybody want to take that, or do y'all want me to take that one? Because I cheated a little bit. What is an agnostic? I can take it from the silence. I'll take that question. Agnostics don't believe in anything. They believe in what you see is what you get. You show up, you get your due, you pass on, and that's it. That's what I think an agnostic is. Kind of strange. I mean, I feel sorry for them. I mean, they can look at Ghost Adventures and see that they're wrong.
So,
in that frame,
what's the difference between an agnostic and an atheist?
I believe an atheist does not believe, atheism does not believe in basically the Trinity. That's what I think. They may believe in something else, but they don't believe in the standard Trinity that so many people in this world believe in. That's what I think. That's how I grew up. Now, that might not be, I'll go ahead and give you the definition. A person who disbelieves or has a lack of belief in the existence of gods or God. And I think the way I was brought up, they said, you know, God doesn't exist. But they might believe in something else, so that's fine. But anyway, that just wanted to get those definitions out. And finally, what is a grimoire? I'm going to ask Robin. I'm gonna pose that question. That's a GE College Bowl toss-up.
Yeah, you have to be really careful with those.
Points.
Yeah, you have to be careful with those. Those are basically a book. Like, people that are religious have the Bible. A grimoire is what they use for magic. It's like the Bible for magic, good and bad, okay? The problem with that is this. In those things are also cantations and also spells. And you do not want to mess with these, okay? You know, the white grimoire is supposed to be pure and it's okay. And I personally have not read it, so I'm not going to tell you exactly what's in it other than what I know of. I did have somebody send me a copy of a grimoire for the darker side. And let me tell you what got deleted quicker than it could stay in my computer. I don't play those games. I don't do dark magic. I don't do anything like that because the problem is once you do it, your fate is sealed. There's no correcting it. There's no fixing it. There's no Hail Marys that are going to get you out of it. It's done. So there are actually two grimoires.
But I think from what I a little bit of research has brought me to the fact that there are many grimoires. I think in Christianity we have the Bible, and that is our prayer book, and that's what we use in good times and in bad times. That's our go-to book.
Yes. Yeah, religious people believe in the Bible. It's the same thing.
Right, and I just wanted to get that. That's the last, I guess, definition that I wanted to talk about because I think it's important to understand you get this word, well, it's a book, and it reflects what you are trying to do. I guess I can safely say the Bible is well-tested and is something that can keep you out of trouble, and it's something that many of us believe is a wonderful book. But there are other books that have spells in them. It's the same idea, I believe. So now we've gotten a framework. And I want Mark Johnston. Mark had an interesting dream one night. I'm going to turn it over to you. I wanted to get these things out there so that everybody had kind of a firm footing on what this thing about alternative spirits is. There are many spirits. Many people pray to many spirits, and some are tried, tested, and true, and we feel pretty good about them, like those in the Bible and those from Christianity. There are others that they may be okay. We don't know about them. There are also other spirits that contact us. Mark Johnston, your story, please.
Yes, so essentially I had this dream that was a lucid dream. Lucid dream being that I was aware during the dream process. Like at one point I just remembered that I was aware that I was dreaming and I was looking around because, you know, you're in the dream essentially conscious. You're bringing consciousness, attention into your like subconscious, whatever the dream state is, like a subliminal world. And I was looking around and I could just, the one thing I remember was like just the level of detail that was like beyond any dream that I've ever, well, like what I can remember. You know, sometimes you remember your dreams first when you first wake up, but then over time, you know, it just like forget them somehow. But so what it's the most vivid I remember, and essentially what I was shown was like portraits of myself through my life, like starting when I was like, you know, 4 years old roughly, and then going into teenager. It was just like a change of, it was like all these like frames that were coming in of me through my life up into the present moment. And then this character appeared in it. And it was kind of like, like Star Trek, he it was almost like he got beamed in, like essentially. It was just like kind of like, and he was right there. And he introduced himself as Ashtar. And since I've looked into Ashtar, and it's something that I believe I came across in some UFO literature, probably in like 2012-ish, like probably Facebook groups and things. It does ring a bell, so maybe it's something that was in my like latent memory. That just kind of came because when you're dealing with dreams, it's very subconscious and things pop up in dreams that like you haven't thought about in years sometimes, right? So anyway, this guy appeared, long blonde hair, kind of looked like Fabio, if you know that guy, Fabio, the male model. And he was talking, after he introduced himself, it was just like, he's just like, get a sauna, essentially. And I'm like, man, like I was looking at hot tubs like over a month ago. So that might be another thing that triggered this type of dream. Like it was just hot tub and sauna got confused. That's the only other explanation I can think. But he was like, get a sauna. I'm like, man, you know how much those cost? Like, I'm not going to pay $5,000 for one goddamn sauna. Like, that's just crazy, right? I'm not, that's not in the budget, man. Like, essentially, that's what In the Dream was conveying. He's like, no, you build one. And he showed a step-by-step process. So essentially, there's these grow tents, which is a tent that you can grow indoor vegetables or whatever you want indoors with. It's essentially a tent that's that seals like with a zipper or whatever. And in the inside is this mylar reflective material, it's called. Okay. And then he's like, set up. It was all just showing me an image. It wasn't him explaining. It was just like a slideshow, ding, 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 like super quick. And then it was these infrared lights that you set up in this like kind of like an array pattern. Does that make sense? Like a geometric pattern inside the – so you're immersed in it. And that's pretty much it. So, but, like, it just showed like how it was constructed, easily constructed, that, and because initially I was like, you know, I can't afford buy a real sauna. And so I was like, okay, I get it. Like, you want me to like detox myself? Like, you know, that's what I attribute to saunas, because in my work, I work at spas where we had saunas, and it's to warm up the muscles, it's to detox, sweat things out, that type of thing, obviously, right? He's like, no, it's, and again, this is all just kind of, it was conveyed to me. It wasn't like a voice like necessarily speaking to me, but in the dream, it was just the way of, it was all conveyed that, you know, we breathe air because we are air, like oxygen's in our cells. We are actually air, oxygen. We drink water because we are actually water, like how much of our body is actually water. And he's like, we bathe in light because you are light. And that's what was conveyed to me. And I was just like, I just like, I remember like this epiphany kind of, okay, I understand. And then boom, I was up. And when I woke up, usually I'm super sluggish, like first thing in the morning. Like, I'm not a morning person by any means. And like, but this time I was just like, ding, I'm wide awake. Like I've been up for 3 hours essentially. And then, I went and put a pot of coffee on, then went to my computer just to look and do it yourself, infrared sauna. First images that came up was exactly what I saw in the dream. And I never even seen this in my life. I never even considered making a sauna myself, or like never seen this before constructed. And it was the exact same things. It was the grow lights, it was the grow tent, the reflective material inside, and it was these infrared lights that you clamp on to different positions within the sauna itself on some type of, oh, the other thing was this type of lattice work, yeah, that I would call it, or like a structure inside that you can attach the lights to. So essentially, that was like a verification to me. Like, normally I wouldn't invest so much in dream messages and things like that, although it has happened in the past. And usually when there's lucid dreams, there is something else to it. You know, that doesn't make sense. Like, I've gotten messages before in my life where it's like, there's a message in the dream. And it wasn't until I woke up and thought about it for a few minutes that it actually made sense in some weird ways. So something within what I would call the subconscious, you know, in psychology, and dream interpretation has always been is a big part of psychology history. Like Carl Jung was a big part of his, and understanding archetypes and things like that. So whatever this was, whether it was like my subconscious constructing this character that then conveyed a message, which then as soon as I checked was actually something that's out there, like that may add more credibility to something else going on there in my mind. Doesn't necessarily, like I said, I don't invest too much into these types of things, but nonetheless, and the other thing that was weird was that this guy Ashtar, which then we looked up, and it was essentially the same guy that was in my dream. Now, that could have been from the fact that, again, I came across that in my past, but, and it's just, it was just somewhere in my recall subconscious, just got recalled somehow, I don't know. But anyway, that's essentially that. Anything else you want me to talk about, John?
Well, no, I mean, we'll continue the discussion. You said three things that I thought were very interesting. Number one is that you went to a room where there were pictures of you at various ages. You're not the only person that I have spoken with that had near-death experiences that experienced that exact same thing, where people were looking and they saw themselves doing things at various different ages. Robin, have you ever had people that you've discussed with about, you know, near-death experiences that have had that type of experience?
Honestly, I have heard of people that have. However, none of the people that I've personally worked with have had it slash where it was different ages like that. I've heard that that has happened to many people. So I believe that the people that I have dealt with have not had that yet happen.
Right, but I've heard, I've had actually several people have told me that very thing.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's very interesting. That seems to be a common thread among a number of people. So I guess
that's
the first thing.
Yeah, I believe it's possible entirely.
And the second thing is I want to make a comment about the idea that you tend to forget dreams. The great Edgar Cayce, and I've got his book, Edgar Cayce on Dreams, right in my bookshelf. I don't want to lose that book at all. In fact, I have a second copy in case the first one magically vanishes. But Edgar Cayce said, when you wake up, if you have an amazing dream, you need to write it down, and it will tend to stay with you, and you won't forget it. And I believe he's right. I've had several lucid dreams that I've written down, and I still remember them, and I still remember what went on. So that's just, you know, a little bit of advice for people that want to remember these kind of incredible dreams. And by the way, Devin Tate from West Hollywood is with us. How are you doing tonight, Devin?
I'm great. Sorry I'm late, but I'm better late than never, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are glad you're here with us, and we are talking about alternative spirits and some experiences that Mark had when he said that that a spirit who would be an alternative spirit. From what I know about Ashtar is a leader of a UFO space command out in space. And, Mark, is that what you have gathered about Ashtar when you did a little bit of research about him?
Yeah, well, initially when you just type it in, you see the Wikipedia and you see this photo that essentially was him. And like I said, I might have saw this like 9 or 10 years ago, but this isn't something I haven't like put any thought about into this guy or anything for a long time or like even at all, to be honest. It might have just been something I came across in the UFO literature, I would call it, and like groups I'm a part of people talking about channeling, you know, different ET groups or things like that. But that was a long time ago. I'm not really a part of those groups as much as I used to be anyway.
Right. And I will say this, that I had an amazing experience about 20 years ago. It was a Saturday night. I was writing the golf column for the Myrtle Beach Herald, and I was still a professor. And right before I woke up, I heard the phrase, the golf whisperer. Because you know that we know about the horse whisperer and the dog whisperer, they tend to be able to, you know, communicate with dogs and horses. Is that, Robin, do you know much about the whisperers?
Yes.
Did I say that correctly?
Well, yeah, basically what it is it's somebody that is able to speak telepathically or connect with them on an energetic level, and it calms them. Years ago, I used to train and show horses competitively. I started when I was 10 years old. I was training and teaching adults and showing competitively against adults by the time I was 12. And they would end up giving me these horses that nobody could ride because they would, as soon as they felt the weight of anybody in the saddle, they'd just freak out. And my trainer would get them, and he'd spend $10,000, $20,000 on these horses. Because they were for jumping fences, and that's what I did, for jumper classes. And when he couldn't ride them, there was nobody else that could handle them. And one day I happened to be working, because I worked there as well, and I had them outside, and instead of acting like total crazed maniacs, I was out in the field talking to them and petting them, and they were acting like puppies. So he decided to put me up on there. Well, I've always done energy work. And I can remember getting on these huge, huge horses that nobody would even handle and just pushing my energy into them, and they would automatically calm. I could do anything with them. And it wasn't that I was a better rider than anybody else. It had to do with energetically I could use my energy to calm them.
That's interesting,
okay.
The whole horse thing. I was at a wedding once. It was this lady I worked with, same-sex couple marriage, a number of years ago, I was doing photography for, and they had this horse there that they brought in, and people were kind of crowding around the horse, and like people were walking behind it and things, and just something for me was said. It was like, hey guys, be careful around the horse, you know what I mean, because it might freak out or something. And the people there whose horse it was were like, oh, don't worry about it, it's the nicest horse in the world. Not even 5 seconds later, the horse went and like kind of made this huge like kick kind of thing. I was like, see, and everybody looked at me like, oh, like how did you know that it was almost like I knew that the horse wasn't having a good time or something at that particular time because it was like so many people around it. That was my interpretation of that anyway. But for some reason, I knew that it was not happy, and sure enough, it kind of made a loud noise.
Yeah, you're able to connect with it. Yeah, it's a form of telepathy. You're able to connect with it and therefore get the information.
You know, I had a horse encounter once. There was this girl when I was in medical school that was interested in horses, so I became interested in horses. And she took me riding. It's in Pennsylvania. And, they put me on Brownie. Brownie was like 5,000 years old and the most gentle horse you've ever seen. And we were on this trail, and we got to the middle of a little shallow stream, and Brownie stopped in the middle of the stream and started drinking water. And I couldn't get Brownie to move because Brownie was just going to drink water. I needed your energy, Robin, to get Brownie to move. That's the only spiritual encounter I've ever had with a horse that not only did it lead itself to water, it made itself drink, and I couldn't get it to move out of the water. Sorry. I thought I'd share
That's
my
cute.
One horse,
I like that.
My horse spiritual encounter.
That's interesting, Trey. I guess what I was driving at is I had this dream right before I woke up about the golf whisperer. So I immediately woke up, went to the kitchen table, opened my laptop, and I Googled up golf whisperer. It was a fellow that had just written a book about the golf whisperer. Told where he was, and it told about the country club that he was a part-time volunteer in. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, so at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, you can call a golf club. Called golf club. I asked to speak to the guy. They said, he's coming in at 10 this morning. You want us to have him call you? I said, no, I'll give him a call. I was always an insurance agent. You know, I just know, no, I'm not going to let you try to call me. I'll call you. So about 10:30, I called this guy. We had a wonderful conversation. He had written a book called The Golf Whisperer about remembrances he seemed to have from great golfers. And he didn't know how he had them. So he sent me about 5 of his books. It was the most amazing thing in the world. And I interviewed him. That was back before podcasts. And I interviewed him, and it was really wonderful. He had had a lot of experiences where he'd had thoughts that he came from other golfers, like deceased golfers and things like that. And I believed him. I mean, the guy was very real, and it was wonderful. And that's the first time that I'd had any experience with something like this. Now, he's since deceased. That was 20 years ago, and he was about 80 when I talked to him. But it was really wonderful. I mean, I think the connection, that's like the connection Mark made with whatever spirit he was talking to. Something gave him some advice that was very practical and just showed right up in the real world. I mean, Mark, would you say that's the best way to describe what happened to you?
Yeah, exactly what I was shown in my dream and described of right when I looked at, Googled it right when I woke up. It was exactly what I saw, and it kind of just blew my mind at that moment.
Well Mark, yeah. did you build the sauna?
No, so this happened last week, and I'm looking into it, and I can buy the grow tent. I looked into a bunch of YouTube, and this one guy in particular, really interesting guy, from Norway, he showed how to build it and how to set it up and everything. He's this young guy, and I looked into his other videos, and he does some other good things as well. But essentially, it's really easy to make. You get these infrared lights, and there's special infrared lights that are for these saunas. And then you get like these light socket adapters that have clamps on them that you can then clamp in any position you want within like the structure I was talking about within the sauna. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's relatively easy to make. There's these, I looked in the you get these, they're called Ruby Lux near infrared bulbs. And you get a pack of four of those for $245 Canadian. And it's near infrared light therapy bulb designed for near infrared heat lamp therapy and saunas. And yeah, so essentially those work. And I've watched videos where the guys have built their own and they're sweating like a lot inside. And, you know, it actually works like for cheap. And the good thing about this is it's like, you know, you can move it around. You know, it's not like a permanent setup. It'd be great for people who live in the city and like, a small place in New York or something, you know, because they can just set it up. And for relatively cheap, I think in total, it would come to under $500 for sure.
Hmm.
And also looked at the benefits in infrared sauna. Apparently, it has a lot more penetrating effect than normal heat saunas, and which makes you have a deeper sweat, they call it. And essentially, so you and it promotes, I know this through my own profession, heat promotes blood flow to the surface, which has a lot of great benefits. Has to do with vasodilation, I believe, like bringing blood flow.
Yes.
And yes. As well, detox, like you sweat out things, so potentially heavy metals or like if you things with out of tin cans all the time, you know, like there might be some kind of like free radicals or whatever that's in you. You might get those out another way through sweating, which is pretty standard as far as saunas go. And I looked in, and apparently the people who do saunas have an average of like 5 to 10 years more lifespan too. Like potentially it could be an anti-aging thing as well. And also... having to deal with our own body's radiant energy, I would call it, maybe in the interaction. That was the other part of the dream, which I don't think I said in this part, but I'm recalling this now. It was like when he was saying that, like, you are light, it was showing like an interaction between our own radiant energy and then the light energy. And then it was like a molecular level, like change in vibration, change the light, like being immersed in this red infrared spectrum that had a change of our own body's radiant energy, essentially. So, like, I don't know if it was, like, we're feeding off it or just harmonizing with it. Because, like, if you bring a tuning rod in proximity to another tuning rod that's vibrating, that one will vibrate too, right? Just by being in its proximity. So, like, that's what I'm kind of thinking. It was, like, a harmonization effect with the light being in it. And that's something that, like, on that red spectrum is kind of, like, our more, like, primal energy maybe. Or, like, you know, our blood's red, obviously, right? Like... I don't know if that has an like effect, but maybe, and our skin is kind of translucent. Like if you're inside our skin or like even closing your eyes, like through eyelids, and there's a light in front of you, you can still see that light, right? So like it has a penetrating effect into your body as well. So the blood going through it, maybe it has an interaction with the blood. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but that's kind of what I gathered.
I spoke at a sales conference for a home care association or a home care company, and they were using infrared or sub-infrared light sources for healing of chronic ulcers and some other problems that I was not familiar with, but they had the scientific papers that supported their premise. I don't remember the details, but there is some medical science that supports that.
I got that too. You know, my profession having to do with spa therapy, massage therapy, but also lots of modalities in the spas. Like my school is pretty intensive and through the years, just the spas I've been a part of. I know the benefits of heat. We use it all the time. So it's not just heat, but this is like a special type of infrared heat. And also I know about body entrainment, right? Like even just if you're in like the good music, like an atmosphere with good music or like natural sounds, your body will have a kind of that reflexive response that, you know, gets you in line with that. So in the same sense, like us being immersed in this light, our body will have a response that is more in line with that as well. I don't know. I could see that happening and potentially health benefits from not just infrared light, but potentially other kinds of light, including our own sunlight, obviously.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's great. Now, Devin, you joined us a little bit late. And I think I'm gonna clue everybody in on something. After I was on Unexplained, starring William Shatner, and I realized the producer had an idea, and he wanted me to kind of substantiate his idea. which I thought was really cool. But he never told me that until the end of the session. And he said, you did a great job because you told what I needed you to tell to go ahead and really, you know, focus on the idea that I had. Now, Devin, I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to tell everybody the whole purpose of this thing, and I hope you'll appreciate what it is. So, Devin, have you ever heard of any people out, because you're out there in California, and things are a little crazy out there, but we love it out there. Have you ever hear about people talking to spirits or spirits giving messages to people?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of there's definitely a lot of mediums and a lot of psychics out here, so it's not at all uncommon. And there's a ton of spirits and messages out here to receive, so just like there probably are anywhere, but, you know, especially in Hollywood, there's so many ghosts and spirits and people trying to send messages here.
Okay, so you have a lot of that out there, the people, the communication, and I think the whole point of tonight's show, as I was reflecting on it, I've been thinking about, Mark, I've known you were going to come on for 2 weeks, and I've been trying to figure out what the basic thing that you were talking about was and how we could relate it to everybody. But the fact is, and Robin, this is a comment to Robin, and you can call it a question. Okay, Robin, are you ready?
Okay.
Because I think we're at an age in our universe and in our world where we have spirits trying to contact us and try to give us information, be it good or be it bad. Now, Robin, you use MindSpeak to talk to spirits. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's marvelous. And, I mean, I had an experience with a four-year-old kid down there at the Gay Dolphin in Myrtle Beach. He was walking with his grandparents. He looked at this statue. He said, that's Elvis. And his grandmother said, oh, my God, you can't know that. We've never discussed Elvis with you. He said, I just know that's Elvis. And it was a statue of Elvis. It's like something was communicating with him that was otherworldly. So I hope I'm not crazy, but Robin, there are spirits trying to talk to us, aren't there?
Correct. Yep, good and bad, and they come in all forms. Everybody seems to think that, you know, they're, and I don't know why people think this, but I talk to a lot of them that, you know, they think the bad ones are going to come to you and say, hey, we're bad. And it just really doesn't work like that, unfortunately. The whole reason they're bad is because they're dishonest. So, you know, they're not going to come to you. Some of them will. I mean, they'll come and they'll try to get you to do evil things, but a large majority of them, and I'm not saying this because of Mark's situation, I'm saying in general, will come to you and they make you think that they're wonderful. And the whole time they're trying to make you think they're wonderful, they're trying to figure out a way to hurt you.
Okay. That is a well-served point. But number two, don't you think that there might be a lot of spirits trying to contact us on this earth to try to give us information and try to help us? Do you think there are some of those?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know that's helped me before, so 100%, yeah.
So what would be your advice to try to protect yourself from the bad spirits but also listen to the good spirits? And that,
this,
Robin,
you know, you'd be,
Robin, I got to say this. That was the whole question I wanted to get to with this entire event. How do you protect yourself from the bad ones? How do you listen to the good ones? And how do you tell the difference?
You'd be amazed how often I work with people on that question. A lot. To begin with, anytime you're going to have any type of communication, whether it's telepathically or anything else, for the love of God, don't be talking to anything until you can read energy. If you don't know how to read energy, you are at such a high risk. It is not safe. Don't do it. Okay? Things can get attached on you that you aren't even aware of, or they piggyback onto something else and you're not aware of it. So first of all, you start out by learning how to read energy, which I teach a ton of people to do, because everything can mask itself. What doesn't change is the energy. Okay? Mr. Joe Blow can come up to you and say, you know, I'm the kindest, most wonderful, I'm an angel, I'm going to help you, I'm going to protect you, and the whole time he's trying to drag your butt to the devil or feed you to some other ET being that is not good. Because the reason they're bad is they're not truthful. They're not going to come to you and present themselves to you as what they are. So energy doesn't lie. So basically you are undercutting what they're saying and you're going to the core of the matter and you're going to find out if they're good or bad. Once you learn how to read that energy, that's the first step. Okay? The next step is then you, it's almost like having eyes in the back of your head, because then once you start talking to it, you've got to be able to not only focus on the energy of what's talking to you, but also try to pick up any energy that might be surrounding it that's trying to piggyback on it to get to you, because the bad stuff will ride in on the good stuff to try to harm you. It's unfortunate, but it does happen. So there's a lot involved. I would love to say that it's always a beautiful thing to have a wonderful conversation with either someone that's passed or someone that we don't know that wants to communicate with you. And a lot of times it is. Not all experiences are bad. I don't want people to think that they are. However, you have to also know to protect yourself. When you're going to be communicating with things, you want to put an energy bubble around yourself. Everybody can do it. If I can do it, a trained chimp can. So you want that energy bubble around you. You know, a lot of people find it healthy to, you know, call out Jesus' name, you know, plead for the blood of Christ. And I think that that works a lot of the time. I do know of cases that that's been done. It has not. Now, whether it's because of that particular entity, maybe the person saying it wasn't pure of heart, I don't know. I will say that, you know, 95% of the time it does work. But we don't know everything that's out there. And it's like all the work that I do to help protect people and protect other things and all the energy bubbles and everything that I do, I've been very successful with it, but I don't take that for granted, because eventually there's going to be something out there that can get around what I do. I know this. I believe this. I'm not perfect. I don't believe in perfection. I believe it's an illusion. So my point is, does that work? Yes, I believe that it does work. Is there ever going to be a time it might not work? We don't know everything that's out there, so there is that possibility. So, you know, you have to do your diligence. If you're going to play in this stuff, you have to do the diligence. You've got to learn how to read the energy. You've got to know how to be able to tell what you're talking to. You have to be able to do the energy around you. People are very much into meditation, and I think meditation is wonderful. If you want to center yourself, calm yourself, you know, get some peace from a stressful time, I think that's a wonderful thing. Just because you meditate doesn't mean you have to speak to things. And I work with an awful lot of people that felt that because they were meditating and something came to them, they automatically talked to them because, you know, they said all the right things and they graced them with beautiful, you know, beautiful vibes coming off of them. And then I had to go and pull this stuff off of these people because it was turning their lives into holy hell.
Okay. Does anybody have a question for Robin? That's an interesting thought. I kind of have a different take on that.
This is Devin.
Yeah, Devin.
Yeah, I'm just curious. You know, I feel like I can kind of read energy a little bit. I mean, some of it is just even with, you know, when you're dealing with anybody, any people, you kind of can read an energy. You know, and sometimes the energy that you're feeling doesn't match what they're saying, so you can kind of tell that they're lying or they're trying to be untruthful in some way. But how are, like, some ways that you can develop that energy reading, especially when it comes to other entities that aren't human?
Well, Devin, what you can do is, and this is what I tell everybody in the beginning, and this isn't what you have to do all the time, but to start out with, go somewhere quiet by yourself. Sit down, close your eyes. If you have your eyes open, you're using one of your senses and you don't focus as much. And as you close your eyes and sit there, try to see what you feel around you. Like when you feel somebody walk up behind you, you're feeling it because you're picking up their energy before they touch you. Okay? And it's the same thing. And just kind of as you're sitting there quietly, not doing anything, start kind of feeling how things feel around you. And that's how you start reading the various energies. Everything has energy. The entire planet is energy-based. The Earth is the biggest energizer battery there is. There's energy in rocks. There's energy in trees. You know, everything will have energy and a vibration, and it's just practice, 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 practice. If you ever are doing this and you're working on this and practicing on this and you feel anything that feels off to you, that doesn't give you that warm, fuzzy feeling, makes you feel not, I mean, uncomfortable, of course, but I mean anything that doesn't feel okay or just feels very odd to you, you want to disconnect. You don't want contact with it. You want to move away from it. You don't want to respond to it if it tries to talk to you. I don't care if it's a picker bush. You do not want to engage. When you engage, they can lock on you and they can attach.
Yeah, thank you for that advice. I also want
no
to problem.
If you ever need help, Devin, just call me and I'll help you through it.
Yeah. I also just wanted to ask you, because we have, you know, a lot of mentally ill people here in L.A. I'm sure they're everywhere, but we have an extremely huge concentration of mentally ill, especially within the unhoused, you know, population. And I've just always been curious because, you know, people always talk about how if you're schizophrenic or if you have other mental illnesses, people hear voices in their head. But I've always been curious, you know, is it possible that some of those voices are actually not just in the person's head, like maybe they're literally spirits or entities talking to them from
oh,
100%. Outside their body.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. You know, we have so many people that are diagnosed with mental illnesses that are hospitalized, and there are some that truly do have mental illnesses. They absolutely do. However, there is also, because we have been programmed, and I know that sounds like a harsh word, but that's how I feel, programmed to believe certain beliefs in our society of what exists and what doesn't exist. A lot of people that are having these encounters and are getting mind speak from things that are not great, or even when they get the mind speak from good things, because we've been programmed to believe that doesn't exist, it's terrifying to people. It can be very frightening. And with nobody to go to explain it or to help them with it or to decipher it or to find out if it's good or bad, it can make you literally nuts. And so while I 100% believe there are people with mental illnesses, I know several, and some need to be hospitalized, there is just as many people out there that are misdiagnosed where people think that they have mental illnesses and what they're actually getting is something completely different. And I just finished helping someone a few weeks ago that was having this issue. And I worked with them, and the last I heard, it was going beautifully, and things were not happening like they were before. So we pray to God every night that it continues like that. But, yeah, I mean, it happens. It really does.
Interesting, Robin. I'd like to speak to one of the greatest painters of all time, Edvard Munch, who did The Scream. He did all four of those versions. I know a little bit about him because I featured him in one chapter of Look Up in the Sky. And I talked about, you know, what did he paint? Well, he painted a little gray is what he did if you do the geometry. But Edvard Munch was put in an insane asylum for a while. It seemed like there was a mania back in the mid-1800s to the early 1900s where everybody that had alternative thoughts got stuck in a mental institution. And Robin, I'd like for you to comment on this. And Dr. Trey, I'd like for you to follow if you don't mind. Robin, what do you think about that, and what were people thinking when they were putting all these people in mental institutions?
I believe they were trying to be helpful. I don't think, I mean, honestly, I don't think that they're doing this to be cruel. I don't think that they're doing this because they're not, like, as far as the physicians and that, I don't think they're doing it because they're not qualified at all. I don't think it's that at all. I don't think it's done out of meanness or malpractice or anything like that at all. I think it boils down to the fact that we have been led to believe that these things don't exist. So even in the scientific community, unless you can prove it scientifically, it's not going to be addressed. And because it comes out as a psychological problem, it's being treated as that. And Trey would know more on that than I do. But so I don't feel that they are not – the doctors aren't doing what they're supposed to do. I don't believe that at all. I think they are. I just personally believe that because we've been led to believe that MindSpeak is not real, a lot of misdiagnoses are possible. Not all of them are. Obviously, there's a lot of people that suffer tragically from severe mental illnesses, of which it's not their fault. But my point is that there is just as many that actually it's not a mental illness. And this is what ends up happening.
Okay. Well, Dr. Trey, what do you think about this whole train of thought here about the fact that people hear things? Are they real or are they not? And what do you think?
Well, I got to tell you, psychiatry was my least favorite rotation because it didn't deal with – I like surgery. You know, there's a problem. You address it. You fix it. You're done. I mean, that's the way I work. However, I will
cut it out and get rid of it, right, Trey?
If in doubt, cut it out. but I will say that whenever you have a patient present with symptoms of a disease process, you go through what we call a differential diagnosis. Okay? So if somebody came to me, I'm not a psychiatrist, and they said, I hear voices talking to me that only I can hear. I'd pull out my differential diagnosis for people that hear voices that nobody else can hear, and I can guarantee you MindSpeak is not on that list. So if you are looking for a diagnosis, That's not going to be a choice. It's a multiple choice
exactly.
test. You got this list, and it's not on the list. So because it's not on the list, then it's not going to be diagnosed. Because
it's not part of the paradigm.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not an acceptable answer. So you got all these other things you've got on your list, and they're going to overlook that. Whether it exists or not is. I mean, what. Then all of a sudden, it's not really a diagnosis of a problem. It's an ability of somebody that you can't explain. So I don't think any physician would say, well, you know, it's MindSpeak because it's not on their list. It's not an answer that can be selected.
No, and it's not ever
so. I think that's how it works with physicians. They're gonna diagnose what they do as a Western physician. And that's
yeah, but Trey, in psychology, there's a whole field of this. You know, obviously we're dealing with like another discipline, but in psychology, the transpersonal psychology is something that's gained more traction in recent years. Like obviously psychology goes through different paradigms, just like the medical industry does. And it's like one of the fastest growing fields. Like if you look at the last 50 years, it's completely changed, right? The whole landscape of psychology. And I think it's going to continue that way. So if you like, look where it's all moving towards in the realm of consciousness and things, I think some of these things that we consider like mind speaker, psychic phenomenon will gain more credibility as time goes on.
It very well might, but from my Western medical training,
yep.
that's not in the list of differential diagnoses. So yep. maybe one day it will be, but right yep. now,
Not if the government has anything to say about it. But.
Well,
but I think
you know,
it is unfortunate because, like I said, I've worked on a couple cases where people, you know, have come to me and they've said, listen, you know I'm not crazy. And this is what I'm being told. And I'm able to kind of like, pick it apart, or they have a friend that is going through this. And I'm like, okay, this is what we need to try. If you're crazy and we try this and it's not going to work because there actually is a mental illness involved, and what I'm going to tell you to try to do is not going to change that. So this is how we're going to find out. I will give you some tools to try. If things have not worked itself out, if things are not doing any better, then you need to listen to what your doctor's telling you. You literally do, because, you know, professionally speaking, I'm not a professional in this. The doctor is, but what I'm going to tell you to try to do is not going to hurt you either way. So
right.
Just for your own peace of mind, let's try this. And I want to say in a large amount of the cases I've done that with, there's been instant relief.
Well, you know, I always tell patients, and as a surgeon, you know, I'd often have people that would be referred to me because of a pain. You know, my stomach hurts. I have a pain in my side. I have this. I have that. And they've had a workup by their primary care physician, and the primary care physician's conclusion is it's in their head. And I
yeah.
can tell you, honestly, I never assumed it was in the head. I always assumed it was a failure on their ability or my ability to diagnose something. And
yeah, go talk to my doctor.
I never
tried to tell them
the head.
That.
And a lot of times I could figure it out. Not that I'm a genius or anything, but a surgeon's examination of an abdomen for pain is different than most internal medicine doctors because we just have more experience with it. So if I am looking for things that other people cannot see, it's not like miraculous that I could say, well, the reason your abdomen hurts is not because you have something in the abdomen, but say it was in the abdominal wall. Common problem. And the way you diagnose that is you get them to tense up their abdomen, you push where they're hurting, and then it hurts a lot more, which means it's on the outside, not on the inside. It's on this side of the muscles in the fascia rather than on the other side. So it's not that I'm a genius, but it's just what I'm used to dealing with. So, Robin, when somebody comes to you, by you keeping it, by understanding that if it's in your lane, you can recognize it easier than anybody else because you are more expert at that than me. But by the same token, you have enough sense to know that there could be something medically wrong, not so much a gift that person has. So by knowing your boundaries and your areas of expertise, I think it's wonderful that you can rule in or rule out mind speak as a reason for people hearing things that nobody else can hear.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I am always, like I said, I am not a doctor. I will never claim to be because that's just not something I know. I know basic stuff, but I'm not a doctor. I'm never going to be. So I always make sure when I'm talking to these people and saying, listen, we don't want to rule out what the doctor says. I am not a doctor. I would never cancel out what he says. So what I can do is first I try to telepathically speak to these things, and if they will talk to me, then that gives me confirmation we're on the right path. If they won't talk to me, I'll say, okay, let's try this because it will not hurt anything that your doctor has in the works or change anything he's diagnosed you with. But for your own peace of mind, we will try this because you have nothing to lose at this point. You know, so
like
I
always
don't
tell my
like
patients,
that.
if it works, it works. Who am I to say, well, that can't work because this isn't the problem? No, I mean, if it works, it works.
And
it
John,
could be a
you know
placebo
that
effect for all I
yes,
know, but
okay.
It still works.
And we don't. Doctors
yeah,
can't
mean,
explain that. Science can't explain placebos, but they know that that works, right? And that's due to something consciousness going on, having a power over, like
a placebo,
a
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It can have a placebo effect, and that's a real thing. That is absolutely
that's like
a real
paradox,
thing.
Right? And there's other paradoxes as well, and in medicine, modern medicine, and things that they can't explain, but they know that they just accept it as something that exists. And this, I think this is one of them. So potentially mind speak could be one of those kind of paradoxes and or having to do with the, like some subconscious realm, like having maybe like one foot in the subconscious and one foot in the conscious, as opposed to normal people who just have like, are just purely attentive, purely conscious all the time, have no connection to that, you know, what's beneath the surface, as far as like we're just in the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, right? And there's a, there might be a whole nother landscape, conscious landscape down there that even dreaming could be. I think dreaming is one of those things that even science doesn't really have an adequate explanation for. But yeah, it's something we experience every day, right? And it is quite profound. So potentially, and this, when we're dealing with psychic phenomenon, that could be something. It's just we're in touch with the deeper root of our conscious being. Essentially, that's my understanding of it.
Okay.
None of that sounds unreasonable to me.
Yeah.
Me either. I agree. I think that we start to get into trouble when we limit the options that may be available as to a solution. So I'm one of these weirdos that believes in you look at all options. And then by process of elimination, you can eliminate what is incorrect until you get to the correct part of it. And, you know, when I do what I do and I work with the people that I work with, I would never want to come in and tell anyone, don't listen to that doctor, because I don't want anybody to be deprived of the medical care that they need. So that's why I try to put it the way I do of, hey, I'm not a doctor. I tell them that right off the bat. But these are some things that if this is not a medical situation, that will help. So if you try these things and it gives you relief, no matter what the reasoning of it is, if you get relief, then we know that we're on the right path. If you
Robin,
don't get relief, then you...
What's your take on... What's your take on lucid dreams, like as something that's relevant or not? Because I find that this one specifically, but I've had others in the past that were specifically profound, and that kind of being totally aware, knowing you're dreaming inside the dream and interacting with your dream as an environment almost, right? In a conscious way.
Yeah.
If you think about that, like that, to me, that kind of blows the mind. And like, there has to be something special going on there when our attentive mind is in this subconscious environment.
Well, yeah, and I do that quite a bit. And I've gotten to the point now that even, and as we've talked about at other times on this show, dream state is an actual plane. It is every bit as real as it is when you're awake. You can get injured in it. You can get killed in it. I've had my arms broken in dream state. I've had busted lips, scratches, bruises, whatever. So it is a very real plane. It's just you're asleep while it's happening, but it is just as dangerous as it is when you're awake. Now, that being said, I've had those kind of dreams for most of my life. I've gotten to the point where during the dreams I can interact with things. I can battle things if necessary. I can do whatever needs to be done almost as if I was awake. So I become an actual active participant in it. So do I think that, you know, there's some validity to the lucid dreams? Absolutely, 100%.
Have you ever gotten to that point where you could consciously go into a dream state and then into, like, an out of a dream state, being, like, you know, conscious, like, right now, and have the ability to be, like, on the fence of going back and forth? I think that, like, little, like, in-between area, I don't know if you guys have experience with this, it's kind of like there's something fascinating going on consciously when you're in that brainwave state or whatever is going on.
You have to be really you have to be really careful, because there is that transition going between the two. And what I've had happen with me, and Pat has as well, is if we have something that wants us in a dream state, like if the Bigfoots have work that we need to do for them, and we are really not being cooperative because we don't know that we're supposed to be working, so we're like watching a movie or whatever, they knock you out. Like, they will literally, you'll be wide awake 1 minute and you are unconscious the next, and there's no stopping it. And I've had the ETs do that to me before. And so, you know, there is a little bit of a transition between the two. So when you're bouncing back and forth, there is some, I don't want to say dangers to it as much as accuracy issues, bouncing back and forth as far as getting information and doing what you need to do in that lucid dream state. Because you are bouncing back and forth, and you're bouncing back and forth between planes. So, you know, there is a little bit of an issue with that. As far as, you know, what you can do during the lucid dreams, you can do it in a lucid dream just as much as you can when you're awake and just as much as when you're asleep. I mean, you really can. People don't realize that, but you can.
you know, this has just been amazing. We've had a lot of different opinions, and it seems like we're coming to kind of the same conclusion. There are interesting things that, of course, Western medicine trains us in. Dr. Say has told us about that. There are things that Robin talks about that she has worked with people on. Mark and I have had, and Devin is around it all the time. You know, we've had experiences about it, and we're kind of getting the same tone about everything, which I think is really, really interesting. Devin, do you have anything else? Because we're at ten right now. We got 20 minutes, and I want to open it up to the last round of questions. I'll start with Devin. Do you have any comments, questions for anybody in the panel?
Yeah, no, I like what Mark was saying about that kind of period in between when you're dreaming and when you're awake. I have had a lot of success with being able to do lucid dreaming. So one of the things that I really like to do when I can do lucid dreaming is to fly. And I'm able to do it, you know, maybe once every 2 or 3 months or so, where I can kind of figure out that I'm dreaming. Sometimes I don't know, and sometimes I'm flying anyways. But then other times I can realize that it's a dream. And so it's almost like Robin said, you know, I know that that's the plane where I can fly, so I'll just do it. And I just love those dreams. And then you kind of wake up, and, yeah, it's really hard to, once you wake up and kind of entered consciousness and you want to go back, I've only been able to do that maybe a time or two to actually go back into the dream. And, of course, then it's different, right? Like, you can never go back to, like, exactly where you were, or at least I haven't been able to. I don't know if anyone else has been able to kind of pick right back up where you left off after you wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because there's been times where I literally have woken up for whatever reason and gone back to sleep and just picked back up where I left off.
Oh, I know all about that. I do that frequently. You know, you wake up, you run, do your business or whatever, and you go back to sleep and you're right back there again. And it's amazing what the mind can do. The mind is the most amazing machine in the world. I don't care what people say. It's a machine, and it's incredible. I think you're right. And Robin, I'll go ahead and pick on you next, since you're the queen of scary cast. Do you have any comments, questions that you'd like to ask anybody or whatever?
No, actually, I think it's been a really good show. I think it's been informative. I was excited to hear what Mark had to say and having him on as a guest, which is awesome. And, you know, I think it's an amazing experience. So, yeah, I've just been enjoying the conversation.
Well, that's great. Thank you. And you've given us a lot of insight, which we really appreciate it. And let's see. Next is I'm going to pick on Mark, and then I'm going to close with Dr. Trey Donaway, and then I'll preview next week's show, which is going to be really kind of interesting, and it's going to be, again, it's going to be another batch of a lot of fun and scary cast. So Mark Johnston, any questions, comments, or anything you'd like to ask anybody?
Our conversation, and thanks for having me as a guest on the show tonight, and just talking to everybody. It's awesome to have just an organic conversation with people that's in this type of format. I think that's really cool and something special that we have going on, and people with different backgrounds and positions, but yet we can draw conclusions, and when dealing with unknown or like things that are speculative or maybe far more advanced than what our science language has right now, because like language is always developing, and especially for new things, new concepts. I think we're kind of crystallizing or synthesizing some things, even just between us. Like that might not even be apparent right now. And I think having to do with consciousness and kind of the boundaries of that, I think is going to be a developing field, continuing in the future. Because we know that we're conscious, and we have like a really kind of almost selfish understanding of consciousness when we look at it in the individual level. But when we kind of transcend that into what I consider transpersonal or potential spiritual, through dreams, through potential things like psychedelics or other, like anesthesia even might do this, or other things, tools, but also techniques like meditation and potentially understanding how to lucid dream better, how to get those triggers to like snap ourselves in that conscious realm. Potentially there's something there that we can really, that we're just getting our feet wet with now, but we'll essentially be putting on like a scuba suit and diving into consciousness and seeing what's underneath. And potentially there could be some really beautiful geometries or like coral reefs kind of things, or there could be some other things dark in the abyss down there that we really don't want to come across as well.
All right. Well, thank you. And finally, Dr. Trey Donaway. And Trey, I got to tell you something. I am so impressed with the concept of differential diagnosis. I did not know that, and I think that's – I mean, you taught me a lot tonight. But any questions, comments, or whatever, but thanks a lot for that knowledge. That's really cool.
Nah, it's just doctor stuff. Well, you know, my comment is that we rarely talk about religion. I mean, we don't involve religion too often in our discussions. But when we mix in the dreams and interpretation of dreams and what they mean, and the guy that came to Mark in a dream to tell him to build this sauna, if we go to the Bible, I pulled up a couple of passages, but I'm gonna read you one in particular that I found very interesting. This is from Numbers 12:6. He said, "Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in vision. I speak to them in dreams." Here's Job. "For God does speak, now one way, now another. Though no one perceives it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their bed." So God does use dreams, according to the Bible. So when you have a dream, or you have an experience that could be a dream, I mean, how we read this in the Bible, God came to someone in a dream. So that is a pathway, but I think Robin is correct also, is that someone might be a false prophet and try to come to you in a dream. You'd think it's correct, what might not necessarily be. I guess it really depends on your interpretation of what God's will in your life is like, but you're supposed to be open to God's will. So I think it's a good idea to approach something not with skepticism so much, but with caution. I think it's prudent to be cautious. But I think this is a very interesting session tonight. And Mark, I want to find out what happens when you have the sauna and you're in it. And if this fella comes back to you and says, "And I think I'd put that one light in the corner a little bit higher." That's what I want to know.
Yeah. No, I do plan on building it. I was looking, you can get it, order everything on Amazon relatively easily. So I think within the next week or so, I'm going to put an order through for these, at least just the lights in themselves, because you don't need the full enclosure per se, like right off the bat. You can just get the benefits from the light itself. But the enclosure obviously will trap the heat in and make it more of an actual sauna, which would be nice.
Right. Interesting.
Wow, and you know what? This has been a wonderful conversation tonight. Again, another landmark scary cast. And Dr. Trey, I want to thank you for ending up with the fact that, and I didn't know this. I, for some reason, I feel like the dumbest boy in the world. I didn't know that God spoke to us in dreams to that extent. I mean, those are great passages in the Bible, and I'm going to, and it's very interesting.
It's not like I knew the passage. I knew there were references to dreams in the Bible, so I just looked it up. But those are the passages that were highlighted as some of the heralding dream passages. So
Well, I'll tell you what, this guy, Ashtar, looked like he was an angelic human. He was a gorgeous man. I'll put it that way. Like, he was very good looking, like almost to a T, like Fabio was. You know, I don't even consider Fabio like that, but he looked better than Fabio, like as far as like cheek structure, jaw, and like long hair, flowing like golden hair goes. I don't know. He looked pretty angelic to me. I'm just saying.
Did he have wings?
No. But he come. Did he
you,
almost
did
like.
You, did you check him out from the rear, or you just get the front view of him?
It was mostly just like all I remember was just his like seriousness in his eyes, like staring right at me in the eyes, but also very like a calm demeanor, but serious and friendly. Like he was like not disruptive. He was very agreeable, or not disagreeable in the sense that when I said something, he actually said no and then showed me the real thing. But it was done. It was like very comforting, but serious as well. His whole presence.
The next time you see him, I'd ask him to turn a little bit sideways and check out if he has any wings or not. That'd be kind
potentially.
Cool.
Potentially.
Well, and I think if it was an angel, which I mean it could be, I would imagine he's kind of used to interacting with people.
It, or what we considered angels are actually could be ET beings too, and this could be a telepathic visit from ET. Being as well,
yeah.
or just an archetypal type of thing that my dream was setting up as like an angel to convey the message. Like if your dream was trying to like create the right environment and create the right character to convey a message, whatever it was, just created this guy for this particular message. That's what I'm also thinking too. So multiple potentials there.
Yep.
Wow, this has been amazing. I want to thank everybody tonight for being on ScaryCast. It's been so much fun. This is what we're about. Now, next week, it may be the 30th of May, but we're going to have John LeMay, and we're going to have Matt Delph on. We're going to be talking about the land between the lakes, between Kentucky Lake, and there's another lake just north of that, and the Dogmen, and Robin. We hope you'll be there. I mean, it's going to be a blast. We always have a good time with John LeMay, and I'm going to ask him to be on a week early because we got to have he and Matt to talk about the Dogmen and land between the lakes. The next week we have the one and only Nick Burnett, producer for Netflix, who I'm working with. And the next week we've got a surprise guest. We have the bad girl of rock and roll. We have the biggest star of internet rock and roll. I met her this weekend. She is the coolest person in the world. She cannot wait to be on ScaryCast, and we're going to have the best time with her. Her name is Angelina. Interesting, just kind of like our friend Robin. So we're going to have a grand time. We've got three great shows planned and lots more on ScaryCast. So thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks a lot to everybody on voiceofnorthgeorgia.com, on tigerradio.com, and WLSC AM and FM. You know, we're getting more and more affiliates. So this is great. So I want to thank everybody. I'll do the traditional call around to thank everybody and just say it's been a wonderful show. This is Dr. John signing off live from Myrtle Beach. We are live as we can be from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel on the one, the only. I got to make sure that I can get the British lady to sign off with us. ScaryCast. So we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Night,
take care, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Night.
Good
bye.
Night.
Trey, I don't know. I thought that was a lot of fun.